Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is monitoring WebSphere application server processes in network deployment environment. Today's presenter is Vikram Tomendru. Vikram works in WebSphere application server level 2 support in Research Triangle Park, North Carolina. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Vikram.
Thank you, Joseph. Hello, everyone. My name is Vikram Tomendru. I work in WebSphere application server level 2 support. Have been working over 6 years. The main goal of this presentation is to give you an overview of how WebSphere application server processes can be monitored in the case of if there is a failure during the runtime of the application server JVM. For example, let's say you have your app server running fine, but it's got into a situation where it is not responding or it is crashed for some reason in the middle of the night. So we will check how does this situation can be taken care of without having admin attention and things like that. Please note that this presentation does not talk about performance monitoring in WebSphere application server product, and I really apologize if there was any confusion in the title. The slide number 2, agenda. In today's agenda, we'll talk a little bit about the different options available in a standalone node environment to start and stop the application server processes, and we'll talk about start and stop different options available in Network Deployment Manager environment, and we'll more talk about monitoring application server processes in a ND as well as in a standalone environment. And we will also talk about some of the troubleshooting techniques and some problem determination tips. Moving on to slide number 3. Yeah, this is very basic information. It's about in a standalone node, the available option for starting and stopping the application server. As you all know that, you know, we can start the application server by default. When you create a base application server profile, you get a server 1. Even you can create multiple app servers under the same profile using WSAdmin tool. Unfortunately, we don't have option from the console to create additional app servers. The user can start this application server from the command line using start server script. Either you can be in the WebSphere home directory, or even you can be in the profile install bin directory. So if you are running the start server from the home bin directory, you got to pass the profile name. But if you are in the profile bin directory, you don't have to pass the profile name. And if you are in the Windows, you can start this WebSphere server from the start programs option. And also, if you have this WebSphere server registered with the Windows Services tab, you can start this server from the Windows Services. Moving on to slide number 4. So what really happens when you say start the server from the command prompt? So we are issuing the command, say, like start server, server 1. So basically, the WebSphere creates a separate Java virtual machine for the start server script itself. It's a separate launcher. It's got its own Java process ID. So this start server launcher will read the configuration information. Let's say you are starting the server 1. So it will read the configuration information for the server 1. Things like, you know, the JVM custom property, JVM parameters, if you have anything specified on the server 1. So it will read all that information. It will construct a command to kick off the real app server JVM for the server 1. So it will start, you know, basically when you say start server, so you get a start server launcher. It will get initialized and it will read the configuration for the server 1, and then it will try to kick off the server 1 JVM, and it will wait for the response back from the server 1. So that's when you start seeing the logging entries in the server 1 systemout.log file. Let's say you are starting the start server script, and you might say, like, you know, let's say 11 a.m., you will start seeing the entries in the start server.log file at 11 a.m., And once you see a message where startserver.log file says, you know, I kicked off the app server JVM, I'm waiting for the response, that's when it will start writing into the system out. And there is another way of starting this, the server. There is a parameter available for this start server script, which is hyphen script. What it does is it will create a specific script for that server, which means by default, when you run the start server has its own JVM. So in the case of using this hyphen script, so it will create a script for the specific to server 1 JVM. When you run that script, it's going to kick off the server 1 directly without launching this start server. This way, you know, sometimes you can reduce the start time because hyphen script parameter does not read any configuration information. It will just straight away kick off the server 1 JVM. Moving on to slide number 5. It's, you know, this slide talks about stop server command. So when you issue stop server, it's going to, you know, send a message to the server JVM to stop that particular app server, and it will go down, and then it will send the message back to the stop server launcher. Let's say, like, if there is a problem on the server side, even though stop server script is sending a message to go down, it's not going down. But, you know, it will keep waiting for the response back from the app server. If the server 1 is not sending any message back, it will just stuck there. It will be waiting for the message, the response back from the app server. But if the, in the case of failure on the server side, so definitely then, you know, you get the command prompt back. But there is a parameter available. It's called the no wait. If you specify no wait for the start server or stop server, so it will just issue that, you know, the start server command or stop server command, and it does not wait for the response back. You get the command prompt immediately. And let's talk about the same start and stop, the options available in an ND environment. Slide number 7. All right. Yeah, starting the application server in an ND environment. So as we have seen for the base install, you can start the server from the command prompt using the start server script. And you can also start the server from the deployment manager console in the case of ND environment. You can also start the server using the WS admin scripting tool. In the ND environment, you do have the node agent process. But, you know, you need to keep in mind that before starting the application server in an ND environment, you need to make sure node agent is up and running. So it's basically the app server startup process depends on the node agent. So we need to make sure always node agent is running before attempting to start the app server. There might be, you know, some cases where you don't want to have node agent running before starting the app server. In other words, can I start my app server without having node agent be running? Yes, it is possible, and there is a custom property available that needs to be set on the app server. I did not put that custom property into the presentation slide, but the custom property name would be com.ibm.websphere.management.register.server.io/with/lsd. What this means is, by default, when you start the server, it will look for location service daemon process, which is running on the node agent. The server will try to register with the node agent process. That is the default expected behavior. So in the case of, you know, having this custom property set on the app server, it does not rely on the app server. And even in the info center, in the 6.1 or 7.0, if you search with the Java Virtual Machine custom properties, you get, you know, this custom property in the list of available custom properties, just in case if you want to get more details about this custom property. Moving on to slide number 8, the stop server. It is exactly same as in the base install. Like, you know, you can use the stop server. Apart from that, you can stop this server from the administrative console, or we can use WS admin scripting tool. Slide number 9. In an ND environment, apart from the server 1 JVM, we do have, you know, the new process called node agent and deployment manager. So there are some dedicated scripts available to start and stop node agent and deployment manager. For the deployment manager, the script name would be start manager. If you are in the profile bin directory, you don't have to pass the profile name. So you can run the Start Manager script to start the Deployment Manager. The flow would be the same. When you say Start Manager, it's going to initialize Start Manager launcher first, and then it will read configuration for Deployment Manager, and then it will kick off the DMZR JVM. You can also use Start Server script to start Deployment Manager, but you got to pass the Deployment Manager display name, which is DMZR, all lowercase. So if you are using Start Server, you need to pass the server name, which is DMZR. In the same way, we have the Start Manager and Start Server scripts to perform stop operation on the Deployment Manager. And to start the node agent process, so we do have the dedicated script. It's called Start Node. And you can also use Start Server, but you need to pass the server name, which is Node Agent. The Node Agent DMZR is nothing but another Java virtual machine. But they doesn't have any kind of applications running. They are meant for this administration purpose. Coming to the Node Agent, you can only perform stop and restart operation on the Node Agent from the DMZR console. Let's say you log into the console of the Deployment Manager. When you go into the System Administration Node Agents, you will see a couple of buttons where you can perform stopping that Node Agent from the DMZR console, as well as you will see another button. It's called restart. What it does is it will stop and restart, but you don't have a button for start operation only. The other way would be, like in the case of Windows operating system, you can start this Node Agent and DMZR even from the Windows Services tab or even from the Windows Start menu command. Slide number 10. The slide number 10, so now we're going to see the stuff about the monitoring, the web speed application process in standalone as well as ND environments. So I'll move on to slide number 11. All right. So in the case of base install, which means you have only one app server profile with only one server or maybe multiple app servers under the same profile. So in the case of the standalone node, you don't have the Node Agent and the DMZR processes. So you have only, let's say you have only the server one, and your server one is running, and you want to monitor this server one. Let's say if there is a problem occurs, some unexpected problem, maybe your server one is not responding, or maybe the server one got crashed for some reason. So you don't have anybody monitoring that server one. So the only options available in the case of the standalone node environment is you can configure your operating system to monitor this web speed application server process. Let's go into the slide number 12. Let's talk about in the case of Windows operating system. So you can register your application server with the Windows services. This can be done during the profile creation as well as even after profile creation. You can use There is a program available. It's called wasservice.exe. You can use that to register your application server with the Windows services. So in the Windows services, you have a couple of options. I want to set it to manual. It means, after you reboot the machine, once the machine comes up, you need to start from the Windows services manually, or you can use Start Server script. And if you set it automatic, when the machine is rebooted, this server gets restarted automatically by the operating system. But when you register this application server process with the Windows services, the user must belong to the administration group and have the user rights for actors out of the operating system or log on as a service. The user should meet one of these conditions in order to perform any kind of start or stop operations for this WebSphere server from the Windows services. Let's say you have the security turned on the server JVM, maybe using some LDAP registry or some custom registry. So you need to pass user ID and password in order to stop the server, right? So from the Windows services, when you register this guy, the server one with the Windows services, we need to pass that parameter, the username and password. There is a parameter available for this. It's called stop aux. So I would encourage, if you want more help information about this command uses, please go out into the info center for 61 or 70. If you search with the VAR service, you can find out a lot of information, a lot of help information for this tool, the kind of parameters we have, you know, what needs to be passed, how you can specify user ID password in the case of security, things like that. I will move on to slide number 13. You can also start and stop the WebSphere server even from the command prompt using VAR service directly. You don't have to go to the Windows Services tab to start it, but you know, it is only manual. If you want to have your WebSphere started automatically by the OS, you need to set start type to automatic. Then that's when only the operating system will start up your WebSphere server when the machine comes up. But, you know, you can use this wasservice.exe even to start the server name to the server, or you can use the stop parameter to stop the server. Even you can check the status of the server, and you can even if you want to remove or add, if you want to make changes to the service, yeah, you can make all those changes using this wasservice.exe. Moving on to slide number 14. Let's look into how does this handle in the case of Unix operating system. Even in the Unix, you know, there is a way, you know, you can start the services, any kind of service on the operating, on the machine, when the machine when the machine is rebooted. So for this WebSphere process, on the Unix level, there will be a file name called init tab under the etc directory. You can find out that the file under the etc directory. You need to put an entry for this WebSphere into the init tab file so that the operating system will know that, you know, okay, I need to start this process when the administrator, whoever is going to restart the machine, it will try to initialize all the services that are available in the init tab. And in the WebSphere install bin directory, you do have a sample script available. It's called rc.was. So if you want, you can take a look into that, and it's just sample. Let's say you have a server 1 and server 2, server 3. If you want to start server 1, server 2, server 3 by the operating system automatically, you need to create 3 different scripts for each application server and put entries into the init tab so that the operating system will try to start each and every process. For this, you know, when you edit this rc.was file, you will see, you know, the sample information where, you know, it says about launch script. The launch script here, as we talked about in the previous slide, you know, there is a parameter called hyphen script. So you cannot say, like, you know, start server.ss. We need to create the dedicated script using hyphen script parameter for whatever the server we want to start when the machine is rebooted. Let's say for server 1. So you need to say, like, you know, you need to run that command start server1 hyphen script. It will create a script name called start_server1.sh. You need to put this entry into the rc.was. And then you specify this rc.was entry into the init tab file under etc directory of the operating system. So you have this, you know, this slide has that information, even the sample command. The next slide has a sample output of that rc.was file. So once you put the entry for, you know, server 1 or server 2 in the init tab, let's select this rc.was. So when the machine is rebooted, it's going to read that. It's going to, you know, run this script, rc.was. It will start the WebSphere application server. Even if something goes wrong during the runtime with that, you know, the server 1 or server 2 process, let's say even if you try to kill, like, you know, maybe the process ID, in the case of Windows, you can kill the java.exe, the operating system will restart that application server. So you have, you know, somebody monitoring your application server, especially if you are running in a standalone node. So even in the middle of the night, if something goes wrong with your application server, so you have your operating system monitoring, it will restart your application server so that, you know, at least you won't be having any downtime for your application. So slide number 15, this slide illustrates the sample rc.was script. So this is a sample one. Like I said, you know, if you have multiple app servers, we need to place multiple rc.was entries into the init tab file for each application server. In the case of ND environment, even you can configure your operating system to monitor Node Agent and the deployment manager. Why? Because even in the ND environment, the Node Agent and the deployment manager doesn't have anybody monitoring within the WebSphere product. So you got to configure the operating system by registering the Node Agent and the DMZR with the Windows Services tab in the case of Windows operating system, or in the case of Unix operating system, you need to create a rc.was file for both Node Agent and DMZR and put that entry into the init tab, and your operating system will be monitoring that. Okay, slide number 16, monitoring WebSphere application server process in a federated environment. Yeah, we'll talk more about, the monitoring stuff in the case of federated environment. Here you have like multiple application servers and the Node Agent and the deployment manager. You might be having a lot of, the app server nodes in your topology or in the cluster, and each node might be managing like, n number of app servers, maybe 50, 60, or maybe 10 app servers. So you want to make sure all your app servers are monitored by some process in the WebSphere if there is going to be some problem on the app server, maybe during the off hours. And you cannot expect, somebody monitoring all, your app servers all the time. Slide number 17. Here it talks about in an ND setup. So like I said in the previous slide, for the deployment manager process and the Node Agent process, we got to register them with the operating system because we don't have any separate process available to monitor these two processes, these two servers. So we need to register Node Agent and the deployment manager with the operating system so that Windows or Unix, they'll be monitoring them. If something goes wrong with those two things, they will take care of and they will restart them. Coming to the app servers, so yeah, this is the main topic, I want to focus on. We always get, a lot of, the complaints or in the lot of the PMRs from the customers, where it says, where they say, like, I have a lot of app servers under the node, and there is a situation where, my app server is not responding. How can I make sure the Node Agent always monitors my app server? So in ND setup, the Node Agent takes the responsibility of monitoring application server processes based on the policy settings specified on the app server JVM. So there are some monitoring policy setting parameters available on each application server. So these monitoring policy settings are for app server JVM. It's not on the Node Agent side. It is on the app server side. In a high level, what happens is when you say, start the Node Agent using the start node script, we will try to start the node. And if you during that process, Node Agent will try to start all the application servers that are managed by this app server node based on the setting called node restart status. We'll talk more about those parameters in the next slide. And when the Node Agent spans the application server process, let's say you have your node restart status set to running, it always starts your application server. As soon as the Node Agent starts this application server process will be considered the child of the Node Agent. Let's say you are starting your application server using the start server script. In that case, this Node Agent will adapt that application server, and then it will update you its routing table with the status of your application server. Slide number 18, yeah, here we talk about, all the parameters that are available under the monitoring policy section of the application server. The first one is maximum startup attempts. The maximum startup attempts, it comes in two different scenarios. When you start the Node Agent very first time, so you are starting the Node Agent, and then Node Agent will try to start your application server, depends on in the node restart status. If it is running, it will try to start all the application servers. Let's say if there is a failure, Node Agent is trying to start your application server, and the Node Agent is failing to come up for some reason. We don't know that. So the Node Agent will try one more time. The default, the value for this parameter is 3. So node agent will make 3 attempts to start application server JVM. The other scenario is, I'll talk more about that later on. The other scenario would be like, you know, during the runtime, let's assume you have a node agent and the app servers, everything is running fine. But, you know, the app server got into a situation where, you know, maybe it's not responding or crashed for some reason. Since the node agent monitoring that app server, it will try to restart that application server automatically. And even during that time, if there is a failure during the startup time, so it will, the node agent will try the 3 times. This is the default value. Based on the value that you have specified this parameter, maximum startup attempts. The ping interval, it specifies in seconds the frequency of communication attempts between the parent process, such as node agent, and the process it has spanned, which is application server. Once your node agent and application server, once they are up and once the discovery happened between the node agent and the app server, the node agent will start monitoring your application server. The node agent will ping app server based on the value specified for this parameter ping interval. Let's say the default value is 1 minute. For every 1 minute, node agent will try to check the health condition of app server JVM to make sure app server is running fine and there are no problems with it. If there is a problem, it will restart. We'll see the different scenarios. How does the node agent detect if there is a hung condition or crash condition or if it's a graceful shutdown? The ping timeout. The ping timeout is specified in the number of seconds that the parent process should wait before assuming that the child process, which is app server, is hung or not available. What it means is, let's say you have the ping interval 1 minute, the very first time node agent is pinging app server, and it will wait for the default value for the ping interval, the ping timeout is 5 minutes, which is 300 seconds. So it will wait for maximum 300 seconds of the time in order to get the response back from the app server to the node agent. So this is called ping timeout. Automatic restart. Let's say the node agent is pinging app server and it found that the app server is not responding. So what should I do? The node agent thinks that, you know, what should I do? Okay, should I need to restart that application server or just ignore it? So that will be controlled by this automatic restart. The option, it is a checkbox, true or false. If you check it, node agent always in on the monitors and make sure it will restart the application server process. And if it is unchecked, even though you have this ping interval, ping timeout set, there will be, you know, the node agent will be just monitoring, but it does not take any action on the app server JVM, even if there is a hang condition or crash condition. And the last one is node restart state. You will see this parameter under the monitoring policy the section, but it's not really a monitor part of the monitoring policy. The node restart state, it comes into the picture only during the startup time of the node agent in order to make sure whether node agents should start the app servers or not. Let's say you have your node restart status set to running. I think that is the default value. When you start the node agent will start, no matter what, it will try to start all the application servers. If you set it to stopped, so it does not make an attempt to start those application servers. If the value set it to previous, what it means is, let's take a scenario. You have the node agent and app servers running fine, and you are stopping the node agent. And node agent will take the status of your application server at the time of when it is going down. So you are stopping the node agent, but the app server was running fine. See, it assumes that, okay, the node restart status is the running. So when you stop the node agent and restart the node agent, before you restart the node agent, if you happen to stop the app server, what it does is when you restarted the node agent, it will start the app server. And it applies for every application servers on the node agent. It's one more time. So the node restart status, it's a little bit confusing. So if you set it to previous, I'm stopping my node agent, I'm stopping app server First, I'm stopping NodeAgent, and then I'm stopping App Server. So when I restart my NodeAgent, it will come up, and then it will try to start the App Server. Let's say I'm stopping my App Server first, and then I'm stopping my NodeAgent, and this node restart status set to previous. What's going to happen is it does not start this App Server, because at the time of NodeAgent going down, the server was stopped. Okay, moving on to slide number 19. Here, it's, you know, this slide has the, you know, it's just example what you see in the NodeAgent system of at the time of this kind of problem. When the NodeAgent detects, you know, the App Server is, you know, not reachable, or if there is a failure on the App Server side, whenever the NodeAgent will try to ping the App Server, you will see a message, you know, something like this: restarting an unreachable server. What it means is, you know, the NodeAgent try to contact your App Server, the App Server is not responding. In that case, you will see this message: restarting an unreachable server. And also, you will also see, like, so basically, in the case of hung condition, it will try to force stop that application server, and then it will try to restart that application server. So you will see a message, you know, an attempt is made to launch server 1 on the so-and-so node name. You will also see exception if there is a connector failure, like, you know, for example, NodeAgent is not able to get the status back from the App Server. If you look into the FFDC folder for the NodeAgent process, you will see some of the exceptions for the NodeAgent FFDC. You will see some exception, something like, you know, the PIDWaiter contact thread. If you look for the PIDWaiter.contact thread, you will see, you know, the more details about, you know, that particular situation. Moving on to slide number 20, I have a few more slides where I go in depth about this hang scenario, crash scenario. So this slide has the information about when you see this kind of problem. Let's say, like, the NodeAgent is not restarting the application server, even though there is a real hung condition or crash condition. Or even sometimes you do see the NodeAgent for no reason restarting all the app servers. So to trace that, you know, the problem condition, we need to turn on some kind of trace on the NodeAgent and on the App Server JVM. The minimum required tracing would be on the NodeAgent side. It is called com IBM ws.management.nodeagent.pidwaiter. This is the component is responsible for monitoring App Server on the NodeAgent side. And on the App Server side, we don't have very filtered tracing. The trace we need on the App Server side is com.ibm.ws.management. as this equals all. One thing we need to keep in mind, if you are making any changes to the monitoring policy or settings for the application server, these settings are for the application server. So we need to stop, not the application server. We need to stop and restart the NodeAgent process. This is the catchy point. So basically, the NodeAgent, when you start the NodeAgent, it will read all the monitoring policy information for that given application server. So we need to stop and restart NodeAgent process in order to take or pick up the new changes that are applied on the App Server JVM. Slide number 21. So how does it work? So when you say, like, you know, start the NodeAgent, how does it detect and how does it read monitoring policy, the information for the App Server? So during the start of the NodeAgent process, it loads the monitoring policy settings for the application server as part of the NodeAgent startup. So during its startup, it will read even, but by default, you won't see all this information in the system mode. To see all this information, we got to enable the tracing on the app on the NodeAgent side. If you just turn on the PIDWaiter trace, it does not write much information if you turn on PIDWaiter. So you can easily notice, you can easily see those things, like, you know, during the startup, NodeAgent is trying to read the monitoring policy settings for the given application server. And then once, you know, if the NodeAgent is starting the application server, it assumes that child process as it's a child, or if you have started this app server from the command prompt, it adopts that application server process. And once the NodeAgent starts the application server, or once the user starts the application server, NodeAgent will try to discover that application server process. Well, as soon as the app server comes up, it will send a notification to that NodeAgent saying that I am up. So the node agent will get that notification, and then it will start monitoring the application server. So if the discovery does not happen between application server and the node agent, if the node agent still thinks that there is no, the discovery did not happen, it does not start monitoring your application server. So we need to make sure you see that message in the node agent system or where it reports stating that I discovered so-and-so application server, and it will put the server name. Then it will start the monitoring the application server, and it will take that another ping interval time, and if it is set to 1 minute, after 1 minute, it will, you know, it will start monitoring the application server. It will try to ping the app server to check the health condition. Slide number 22. So how does this contact work? So let's look into the steps involved in the monitoring process from the node agent. The node agent is the one monitoring your application server. Once the node agent discovers the app server, it creates a dedicated thread. It is called PIDWaiter. The PIDWaiter code is available only on the node agent process. As soon as node agent discovers the app server, it will create the thread. It is called PIDWaiter, which will be available only on the node agent JVM. The PIDWaiter thread is the one which monitors each application server. So please keep in mind that there would be one PIDWaiter thread dedicated to monitor each application server. If you happen to have 5 app servers, you will see 5 different PIDWaiter threads created by the node agent process. Every time PIDWaiter needs to check the app server, in turn, what this PIDWaiter does is it will create another thread. It is called contact thread. It will create a contact thread, and then this PIDWaiter goes into the sleep mode for the timeout, for the ping timeout period. Let's say if it is 5 minutes, it will create a contact thread and it goes into the sleep mode for 5 minutes. And this contact thread comes into the picture. It will ping application server. How does this contact thread ping application server? It's a just JMX call. It's a WebSphere JMX call. The method name called admin client dot is alive. This is the call node agent makes, internally the contact thread makes to the app server. So this is a WebSphere JMX call over RMI connector or SOAP connector. Depends on the type of connector you are using. By default, the connector is SOAP, so the request from the node agent to the app server, it goes over SOAP connector for this JMX call. So basically, once this contact thread, you know, checks or sends this message, you know, this call, like isAlive method to the app server, and usually it will get a response back, maybe within few seconds. So you see, if it gets the response back from the app server to the node agent, what this PIDWaiter does is it will close the contact thread, and it will wait for another minute, and then it will span another contact thread to check the health condition one more time, because you have the ping interval set to 1 minute by default. And again, that contact thread will check the status of your application server, and the PIDWaiter will go into the sleep mode, and it will be waiting for the response back from the contact thread. How long it waits is 5 minutes. And let's say if there is a problem, like, you know, the app server is not responding for the apps for the contact thread ping. So basically what it does is, sometimes even you will see that isAlive call, whatever the call node agent is sending to the app server, that gets into the hung status. It indirectly, you know, it does not get any response. The node agent will get some kind of response from the contact thread stating that, all right, yes, the app server did not respond for the given 5 minutes. So what the node agent PIDWaiter does is it will close that contact thread and it will create new contact thread and it will check one more time to make sure the app server is really hanging, or maybe, you know, there are some operations, maybe some of the application code on the app server is processing very big jobs, like maybe maybe sometimes, you know, if you are working with the backend MQs, your application might be processing, you know, very large other requests, so it may take a lot of time. So we will try to check one more time. And if there is a crash condition, when the app server or when the contact thread will try to check the status on the app server, if there is a crash condition on the app server side, it does get some kind of another notification back to the node agent, the Bitwaiter code. You will see, definitely you will see some kind of exceptions. Even in any case, let's say, like, you know, if there is a connector failure, like in the connector is trying to ping app server, the connector, it will make a ESLi method call. It goes over the SOAP. If the SOAP port number is not active or is not responding, you will see some kind of connector available exception on the in the FFDC logs. Moving on to slide number 24. So when does this node agent restart this application server? So there are different scenarios. One is the hung condition. Let's say the node agent detects, you know, found that, you know, the app server is not responding. Maybe, you know, once it assumes that app server is hung completely, then it will try to stop that app server and will restart that application server. And during this condition, you know, basically the node agent would expect some kind of notification back from the app server. There are two different things. I put only one, which is j2ee.state.stopping notification. There is another, the notification that, that node agent would expect. It's called websphere.process.failed. During the crash condition, you will see this message in the node agent trace.log file when you turn on the trace. If you happen to see this websphere.process.failed message with the true, it means that the server does not exist. Maybe it crashed, and then it will just know, the node agent will attempt to start that application server. The second scenario would be the hang condition. And the third scenario would be even sometimes the user might be stopping the application server JVM. So if you are stopping the application server JVM, you do not expect node agent to restart that application server automatically, right? Because for some reason we are stopping, maybe, you know, we are making some changes or whatever the reason it is. So in that case, the WebSphere would receive some kind of message. It's called WebSphere.process.stopping. If node agent gets this message from the app server, it thinks that, you know, it's a graceful shutdown. It does not take any action. But let's assume that, you know, it's a hung condition on the app server side. The node agent is supposed to stop that app server. So that it's basically, if it's a hung condition, node agent will send some kind of signal to the app server to go down. Because it is initiating by the node agent, so node agent knows that, okay, I'm the one stopping this app server, and I will go ahead and restart this application server. And it has some internal the mechanism to detect whether the stop request was issued by the node agent or maybe by the administrator. Even, let's say, like, if somebody, like, you know, if the by mistake or maybe, you know, somebody is killing the process ID for the application server, even in that case, the node agent restarts the Bitwaiter component on the node agent restarts this application server process. Slide number 25. Let's more talk about this hang situation. So if in the hang condition, the contact thread, it will try to ping app server, and let's say it does not get any response back within the 5 minutes given time, that is a ping interval, a ping timeout value. And by default, the internal logic, what we have in the WebSphere is we check one more time. So we create another contact thread, and we check the health condition. Even if there is no response back from the app server for next 5 minutes, that's when node agent confirms that, okay, the server is not responding. I will go ahead and stop it and restart it. So even though you are setting 5 minutes for the ping interval, if there is a real hung condition situation, you will see the node agent restarting this application server maybe after 10 minutes, maybe I would say 12 minutes, because 5 minutes plus 5 minutes and the ping timeout is 1 minute. So it may happen, you know, at 11th minute or 12th minute sometimes. If you happen to set this ping interval set to 0, the node agent does not monitor this application server at all. So even if you have this ping interval value set to some value, and if you disable this automatic restart, it will just monitor, but it does not take any action on that. Slide number 26. How does this node agent stop this application server once it detects or once it confirms that app server is not responding at all or the app server is in real hung situation? So what it does is it will send a strict term. It's a voice call to the app server JVM. It will send a strict term, and I think it is kill minus 15. The node agent will send kill minus 15 against app server JVM process ID. So this sick term, fill minus 15, it's a graceful shutdown. So we are not killing the process ID for the app server JVM. So what we do is we will send this sick term signal to the app server JVM, and we will just wait. You know, the node agent will wait there until the app server go down completely. Sometimes, you know, there might be a scenario where the app server is not responding for any kind of signals, even for the sick term, since it's a graceful shutdown. So the node agent waits indefinitely, doesn't have any kind of mechanism to check one more time. But it does get some kind of the exception from the app server saying that the app server is still active, but it is not responding. In that case, I mean, by default, it does not take any action, but there is one custom property available that needs to be set on the node agent JVM. It is called com.ibm.server.allow.sigkill. Basically, this sigkill is kill minus 9, which means it kills the process ID. So the reason for not providing this custom property as a default is, like I said previously, you might be having your application processing very huge requests, maybe still processing, and it may take more time. So we want to give you the option whether you want to, you know, have the web sphere wait for some time or just, you know, kill it by specifying this custom property. If you set this custom property, the node, once, you know, the node agent does two attempts to check the state or the health condition of app server, once it confirms that app server is not responding, and one first initially it will send the sick term, and if there is no response, and once it gets some kind of active exception from the app server JVM, it will send the sick kill command. It will kill the app server JVM immediately, and node agent will restart your application server. Slide number 27. Yeah, I mean, I didn't put any examples. With the server means, in the server side, basically the node agent considered as a client here, and the, so your app server is server. So when you see, like, you know, you can look for, you know, but, you know, this needs to be done when you have the tracing on. By default, you won't see any information. All you see is node agent reporting stating that I'm not able to contact the so-and-so app server. It is unreachable. I will try to, you know, issue the force stop, and then I'll try to restart. If in a crash condition, it will just say, okay, server is unreachable, I'm trying to restart. So if you want to see, if you want to dig down what's going on, you know, during the time of the problem with the tracing on, you can look for, you can search with the isAlive method. It's, you can, when you search with the isAlive, you will get a message whether it is returning true or false from the app server to the node agent. And also, node agent gets some kind of response. Even you can search with WebSphere.process. Either failed or stopping. If you happen to see the failed, the server is not responding, and the processing means it's still. I mean, the server is fine, and so you're just giving the response back to the app server, saying that the server is fine, and we continue pinging the app server one more time during the ping interval time. Okay, slide number 28, problem determination and some of the troubleshooting techniques. We often, based on my experience, we often get, you know, calls from the users saying that, you know, sometimes they may say, like, you know, I'm not stopping my app server, or the node agent restarting all the app servers, or, you know, we had some DNS outage, and I did see that node agent restarted all my servers, all my app servers, and that caused the production application outage. So this is all expected. Let's take first scenario, DNS outage. If you have any DNS outage or any kind of network issue or the slow network, in that case, the node agent, like I said, we, you know, we check the health condition of app server. Part of that, we make a call to the network to get the machine local host name. So for every call, for every ping, the node agent makes a call to the network to get the its local hostname information. Let's assume you have a lot of app servers being managed by this app server node, maybe like 50 app servers. And so for every minute we ping that app server, and the node agent creates 50 separate threads for each application server trying to get the local host information. Maybe there is some kind of delay from the network, node agent is not getting the response back, or maybe there was a DNS outage, and the thread that stuck there and they never return back to the knowledge yet. And again, after a minute, knowledge and again will try to get one more time. And like that, you know, all the threads will stack up and eventually the system will run out of the available open connections. So you will see sometimes the messages in the system are saying that too many file open file descriptors. It means that, you know, the node agent doesn't have any open files available to open a new connection. So in that case, you may have to increase. You need to make sure. I would recommend at least 10,000 for the U limit value. That is the recommended value, I would say. So because especially in a large topology. And also sometimes, you know, I would recommend, you know, looking into your network. If there was any like DNS outage, in the DNS outage, it is expected. So we cannot do anything during that condition. All we say is, yeah, the node agent is going to restart your application server. But there is a workaround for this scenario where, like I said, by default, you know, for every call, we go to the network to get the host name information. So you can cache very first time when the node agent makes a call to the network to get the host information. You can cache that information so that for any subsequent calls, node agent does not go into the network to get the host name so that you won't see this problem, you know, the threads are stacking up. So the property name is, I did not put that custom property here. The property name would be com.ibm.cache localhost. We need to set this value to true on the node agent process. This is a JVM custom property. So you can go into the node agent, the JVM custom property section, and you can set this value com.ibm.cache localhost, and the value should be true. So what this does is it makes a first call to the network to get the host name, and then it will cache that information, and it does not go to the network again for any subsequent calls. And this is this cache information will be available for the lifetime of your node agent. Once you stop the node agent, and restart the node agent, it will make a call to the network very first time, and then again it will cache. So that, you know, you can avoid seeing the problems, you know, the node agent restarting the app servers, you know, during the network failure or DNS outage, you know, etc. And other scenario is sometimes you would see, like, you know, your server is stopping by itself for no reason, and you don't know what's going on. And when you open the ticket with us, we say, like, you know, the node agent does not stop the app server for no reason unless there is some kind of hung condition or crash condition. But looking into the log files, you are not noticing any kind of hung thread messages or the crash condition. So in that case, so basically, you know, it's possible that your application code has, you know, some kind of method somewhere being called. The method name would be system.exit. If your application code somewhere is calling that method, system.exit, it will terminate the WebSphere application server JVM completely. It's a graceful shutdown. You will see a message in the system or saying that as if somebody attempted to stop the app server JVM. So in that case, even we do have some custom property available, because in that case, there is nothing we can do. Like basically, it's, you know, since your application code is calling that system.exit, it is stopping your application server JVM, maybe we can find out. So we have a custom property. What it does is when you set that custom property, it will try to generate some Java core file, some stack information when the WebSphere runtime code receives the system.exit signal, so that, you know, you will know that, you know, from looking at the Java core file, who is the client, what is the code initiating that, you know, the system.exit method, who is initiating that stop request on the app server JVM. So, but in this case, you know, one thing we need to keep in mind, since, you know, your application code is calling the system.exit, we are not going to the node agent does not restart, because node agent thinks that the user stopped that app server. So like I said, the node agent always, you know, it has some internal logic. It will try to find out whether the stop was issued by itself or by the user. The system.exit comes into the user section. And also, if you are not sure what is going on, and we know that node agent restarting your app servers, it is expected, because you need to have, let's say your app server is really getting into the hung status or crash status. You need to have this node agent, you know, making sure to restart all your application servers. So for that, you know, basically to debug the problem with the app servers, why they are getting into the hung status, you may have to consider disabling automatic restart so that Node Agent does not attempt to restart your application server. So that, you know, whenever this app server gets into the hung status, it will be in the hung condition forever. And once you come back, maybe you can take some Java course, or, you know, if it is crash, you can look for core file, things like that to find out the root cause. All right, moving on to slide number 29, the summary. So we talked about various options available for starting and stopping the WebSphere processes in a base as well as ND environment. We talked about the how does this Node Agent monitors this application server, how does it handle the conditions of hung, crash on the app server. And also we talked about some of the problem determination tips on the troubleshooting tips. Slide number 30. This chart includes links to a number of sites that provide valuable online resources for WebSphere products. Visit the WebSphere Technical Exchange site to learn more about upcoming WebSphere Technical Exchange webcasts like the one you attended today and access previously recorded presentations. DeveloperWorks offers in-depth technical information. Visit WebSphereUserGroup.org for user group information and more product information. The IBM Education Assistant consists of self-help modules to get new users up the learning curve quickly. The SR tool is for Passport Advantage clients to open or update and view the PMRs online. You don't have to dial in the toll-free number. And the last one, and the My Notifications link on all the product support pages let you sign up for weekly email updates for products of interest to you. I hope you all found this session much helpful to your day-to-day admin job, and I thank you everyone for joining in today's session. I'm giving the control back to Joseph.
Thank you, Vikram, for a great presentation. At this point in time, Kelly, we would like to open the line for questions.
Our first question comes from Balanand. Your line is open.
Hey, this is Balanand Pinney, and I have a question for you. It is said that you have to start the node agent before you start the application server.
Right.
That's correct. But when I shut down the node agent, I still see the application servers up as a Java process. Shouldn't they get killed automatically if I shut down the node agent?
No, the default behavior is when you stop the node agent, it will just stop the only the node agent JVM. It does not stop your app server.
Correct. So the app server wouldn't respond if I shut down the JVM, and I have to kill the process manually to shut it down. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yep, that is correct. Let's say, like, you know, you have this node agent, app servers are up and running, and you are stopping the node agent first, and then you got into a situation where app servers are not responding.
Uh-huh.
So you don't have any way, you know, to configure this node agent to restart them. The only way is we need to kill those app server processes and start up your node agent. It will try to start, you know, your all the app servers based on the node restart status.
Okay. And my second question, can I ask my second another question?
Sure.
Okay. Usually, what happens is, you know, that when you start up the node agent, it syncs up with the DMJR, and then it shows the status on the nodes whether synchronization is completed or not. Suppose, in case, what is happening is that for the first time when I bring up the DMJR and bring up the nodes, everything shows that one of the nodes is not syncing up, and then I bounce the node, it shows that it is syncing up. And next time when I shut down and bring up the DMJR, first DMJR and then the node, it shows me that node is not syncing up. But when I restart the node, it shows node is syncing up. There is no network issue. What else could be the issue?
Sometimes, let's say, you know, if you have this the synchronization, automatic synchronization checkbox is unchecked.
Uh-huh.
Once you start the node agent process,
uh-huh,
after maybe like, you know, after a minute, you will see the node is not synchronized with the DMZR.
Mm-hmm.
If you restart the node agent process, you're going to see, like, you know, the node agent is synchronized because you are restarting the node agent. The deployment manager will discover, but again, after a minute, you're going to see the problem again.
Okay.
That triggers by your automatic synchronization option on the node agent.
So suppose that option is set. I'm seeing that automatic synchronization option is set, and the synchronization interval is also set, and then I see that this phenomena is occurring. where else I should see more things? Where should I look at?
Right, definitely it's a problem. So we will have to check the log files. We usually ask for synchronization must together, like, you know, you can turn on the string only for the sync component on the DMZR and the node agent.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, we'll try to find out, you know, why the node agent, the DMZR is reporting that node agent is not synchronized.
Okay. Has IBM found a similar issue in WebSphere version 7.0 with patch 7?
Not really. In 7.0, we don't have any kind of, you know, this issue, any known issues.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure about that.
Okay.
So if you are seeing that problem, definitely I would suggest, like, you know, open a, you know, ticket with us. Definitely we will look into that. But it's a problem. There has got to be some kind of, even if there is some kind of, you know, the configuration corruption, you know, we do see the problems like this.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say, like, you know, we definitely have to check the files and some of the log files.
Mm-hmm.
So I would recommend, you know, opening a ticket with us.
Okay. Thanks. That's all I have.
Yeah, sure.
Our next question comes from Mark. Your line is open.
You had mentioned problems with DNS can cause your entire infrastructure to restart. Is it a workable workaround to use IP addresses in your configuration and or to hard code your host names into, under Unix, your /etc/host?
Right. Yeah, that is possible if you make sure, you know, if you can configure your machine, only look into the etc host file, and if you make sure, like, you know, it does not go into the DNS, then it should work fine. It does not look into the DNS, but I'm not sure about how to control that behavior because it's a Java call. It's not the WebSphere call. The WebSphere makes a call to the Java. Java will try to get the host name, and maybe it will start with the DNS, or maybe it will start with looking into the etc host file.
Yeah, you can control that.
Yeah, if we can control that, yeah, definitely, you know, we can use that as a workaround.
Yeah, you can, in et cetera, there's a resolve.conf. You can tell it to
right,
in the file.
Right, yeah, that requires, you know, editing that in the file and make some changes, yeah. I have seen some customers, you know, using that workaround or, you know, setting this custom property, caching the local host information.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Yep, sure.
Our next question comes from Harsha. Your line is open.
We have like 10 JVMs in particular node, and for all the JVMs, we had the node restart status running.
Uh-huh.
So when the node agent comes up, would it bring up initialize all the JVMs or one JVM at a time?
Oh, it will initialize all the JVMs. It's a concurrent process, which means it will try to bring up all of them at the same time.
Okay, and in the WE environment, we're not seeing this. So is there any difference between a WE environment versus normal ND?
So what is the other environment?
The WEND environment. The WebSphere virtual environment?
No, it should be the same behavior because it's...
Yeah, we're definitely not seeing that. So I knew that previously I saw that it brings up everything together, and we had the memory issues and just in ND.
Right.
But in WEE, we're not seeing that. So I just thought maybe something changed. I thought I'd ask here.
No, not really. The expected behavior, it should be like it will try to launch all the processes at the same time.
Right. Okay.
Only
we'll
in the
try to open a PMR.
Right. In the case of ripple start, that's when only, you know, we will stop and restart one after one.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right.
Yep.
There are no further questions at this time.
Thank you, Kelly. At this time, we will conclude the presentation.